are escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey folks, welcome to the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast. This is the truth in a world full of uncertainty. So glad that you are able to join us. I am Gio, the youth pastor of LWIM Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. So glad you can join us. And with me is a recurring guest on this podcast, a dear friend, and also attendee of Living Word Youth Ministries, Mr. Daniel Orihuela. Take a bow, sir.
Ladies, guys, and gals, how's everybody doing? Thank you for joining us for another episode. Gio, my friend, how are you doing, man?
Thank you for asking. I'm doing rather well. How about yourself?
Doing all right, my friend. Can't complain. You know, good God gave me another day of life. Can't ask for more.
That is always excellent. Now, there are certain persons, certain factions within Christendom that aren't doing all that well now, being that Pew Research has published a work which makes it seem as if Christians will no longer be a group to reckon with in the United States. And certainly certain persons are lamenting this, and they are ready to commit suicide. They are slashing their wrists, throwing themselves off buildings without the Islamic State even being present yet. And I know some people might state that's a bit harsh. That joke went a bit too far. But the truth of the matter is we need to take a step back and re-examine things in a calm manner. When we've taken a second look, a secondary and a third look at the Pew Research study, there are actually some very, very beneficial news for the Christian church. It is not what they would make you think initially. As I've stated to you before, off air, Dano, and we're not technically on the air here. We're not broadcasting live. This is archived, so I would have to amend that previous statement. But anyways, I'm going on a small diatribe here. Having said all that, the truth of the matter is we have to be very careful with polls. Namely, from what I've heard from experts, people who do this for a living, polling is not what it used to be. Most persons do not have landlines anymore. They will not withstand the half an hour it takes to go through these polls. And many times you don't know whether or not people are actually being truthful when they answer the questions that you are asking of them. So it's very difficult to gauge. They say that they use scientific methods in order to arrive at a concrete number. But guess what? The statistics were showcasing in Great Britain that the Conservatives and the Labour Party were going to be in a statistical dead heat come election day this past week. And guess what? The Conservatives won by overwhelming numbers, even though the polls showed something completely different. So polls can be a bit misleading. And this is, too, the way that it has been presented, even by many conservative pundits. I was making mention off before we started recording this podcast about Glenn Beck, how he states that the reason many Christians are abandoning the faith and many persons are not coming to Christianity is because they see Christians as hypocrites. And you and I were stating also that how could it be that a man whom says that he is a Christian, anybody who is a Bible-believing Christian understands that there are more hypocrites outside of the world than there are in. At least we Christians acknowledge that we have a hypocrisy problem and we're trying to rectify it, versus the sinners who know that they're hypocrites and they try to disguise it from others. And then this is coming from the same man who is a Mormon. He's never abandoned Mormonism, a false religion, and he's also an ecumenist. He seeks to engage and undertake movements with Muslims and Catholics and other people who are not of the faith. And if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you understand that the Bible clearly states you will not be unequally yoked with other persons. But then again, I am not a political commentator that, above all else, I have to see the wheel of a country before advocating for the truth of the gospel, that takes priority in my life over the speaking the truth of the gospel to others.
Absolutely. And Gio, you bring up such a great point with the polls nowadays, because polls nowadays, at least as far as I've seen, they've become almost like a punchline. I mean, when we were going over the material, you know, before we started recording, Man, this poll almost made it seem like me and you were the only two Christians left in the world. And it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that there hasn't been a decline in numbers up to a certain extent. Especially, you know, like we're going to discuss later on, you know, like with the millennials and things like that. I'm not going to say that there maybe isn't a slight decrease in numbers, but man, they make this seem almost like it's such a doom and gloom thing, you know, and obviously that's not the case. You know, you guys got to be, you know, careful when it comes to these polls, because a lot of the data that is collected is very skewed, as you guys will come to see now, you know, that we're going to go over the particular numbers that we found in this poll.
Well, it says in the subtopic here, or rather the subheading, Christians decline sharply as share of population, unaffiliated and other faiths continue to grow. Well, let's look at the numbers initially, shall we? It says here that between 2007 and 2014, the Christian share of the population fell from 78% to 70%, 78.4 versus 70.6. So that's almost a 9.8 to 9-point decline, driven mainly by declines among mainline Protestants and Catholics. And there's the first caveat. When you analyze the differences between mainline Protestantism and evangelical Protestantism, there's where we find the biggest exodus from the faith, if you will. If you are going to define mainline Protestantism, most people don't know what mainline Protestantism is. Well, in a nutshell, it is this group of organizations. You have the United Methodist Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, PC USA. You know, I just noticed that's not a pun. PC USA. The Episcopal Church, the American Baptist Churches, United Church of Christ, Congregationalist is another way to describe those groups, Disciples of Christ, Reformed Church in America, the Hicksite Quakers, among others. The common thread amongst this group, Danny, every single one of these people, they all affirm a departing from the scriptures. They do not affirm sound biblical doctrine. They are Marxist in their viewpoints. They are anti-Israel in their advocacy. These people could not be further departed from sound doctrine than any other group that I know.
Exactly. And that's one thing that we noticed that's been happening for years, where they kind of throw all these people under the same umbrella of, oh, Christian. You know, we're all Christian. No, Catholics, Christians, oh, they're the same thing. You know, we're all just the same thing. And the truth of the matter is that we're not. There are glaring differences in theology, you know, glaring differences when it comes to the truth and what, you know, the lies that are spoken, you know. So, like I said, you know, like we've been mentioning, kind of, I think it's more of the, you know, the trend of this episode. You know, you guys got to be careful as to what you guys are reading into, because, again, the results may be skewed.
And we'll further examine the statistics, and they'll give us a different picture than what the subheading and many commentators are now stating. Let me assert two things before we continue. I've always believed in Christ's words. Christ is the truth, and therefore he cannot lie. When Jesus Christ affirms in Luke chapter number 12, verse 32, do not fear little flock. Those are interesting words, little flock. We've always, true Christianity will always be and always has been a small group. I don't think that is by design. I do believe the truth of the matter is Christ, he said that he came to establish a sword, to turn the father against the daughter and the son against the mother, because the truth divides, and many people simply do not want to adhere completely to Christianity. It's just like G.K. Chesterton stated, it's not that Christianity was tried and found wanting, it's that Christianity was found difficult and left untried. And that's what I think happens. When you look at Christianity, you find that many persons whom affirm or denominate themselves to be Christians, they pick and choose. They're very selective in what they adhere to and what they put into practice in their own lives. But then in truth, they're not really Christians. It's like Islamists. We find that Westerners nowadays, they say there's a difference between moderate Islamists and the radical Mohammedans. But if you read the Hadiths, if you read the Quran, you'll notice that the terrorist groups, they are the rule, and the so-called moderates, they are the exception. It's the same thing with Christianity. Jesus says it, why do you call me Lord and you don't abide by my commandments? Any person that denominates themselves to be a Christian, but they don't follow in the footsteps, they don't attempt to live as Christ says that we should live. And furthermore, they don't believe in the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in many of the tenets of salvation. That you're not a Christian. Stop calling yourself a Christian. You are not a Christian. You are a, what is it that we call these certain folk in golf, Dano, posers?
The posers.
We call them posers.
Exactly. And, you know, you bring up such a great point, you know, because, you know, I've kind of categorized this particular group where they say, you know, yeah, you know, we believe in God, but we believe in our own way. You know, they're the kind of, they're the same people that go to church, you know, once, twice a year. They go on Easter. They go, well, I'd say three, because, you know, there's always a wedding or two in there. But for the most part, they're there either on Easter, they're there Christmas Eve. You know, these are the group of people that say, yeah, you know, I believe in some guy named Jesus. Yeah, I think I heard about, you know, someone say something about some guy named Jesus who rose from the dead after 5 days or something like that. Yeah, yeah. And the truth of the matter is, guys, the definition, the literal definition of a Christian is a follower of Christ. And if you don't follow, you know, if you don't follow what is the word of God, the infallible word of God, then again, you know, like we've mentioned, don't call yourself a Christian if you're not following Christ.
That's a great point, Dano. Now, let's delve further into the statistics to prove what we have been saying up until this point. The mass exodus comes really from mainline Protestantism. We'll notice in these statistics that it says that people whom associated themselves with mainline Protestantism in 2007 were 18.1% of the population. That has dipped to 14.7% of the population. And the Catholics have also taken a huge dip, namely that 23.9% from 2007, and now that is sharply down to 20.8%. Together, both groups, they have experienced a decline collectively of 6.5%. There you have the greatest number of people defecting from those organizations, and I believe that they're headed now into centers where sound doctrine is preached. Why would I assert that? Well, when we examine the statistics further, we'll notice that it says here under the heading, number of evangelical Protestants growing. In other words, people whom espouse sound doctrine, preach it from the pulpits. We're mentioning Southern Baptist Convention, Assemblies of God, Churches of Christ, Presbyterian Church in America, and non-denominational congregations. In 2007, they made up 60%, 59.8% of the Protestants. That has actually grown by approximately 5 million people up to almost 63%. So we see that those that are adhering to the faith, we see that persons that want to hear sound doctrine, they're flocking to churches that preach sound doctrine. And curiously, I think that you're beginning to see also an exodus from churches. I call them revolving door churches, the churches who are seeker-friendly. You'll have certain persons who will stay there for any given period, an extended period of time, but then these are revolving door churches. People will stay their congregants for, what, 2 or 3 months at a time, and the pastor says something that they don't necessarily agree with, even though they're as PC as they come, and they'll move on and look for other churches, you know, the church hoppers, as they're known in our neck of the woods. And that is usually what I find that could also provide insight into this decline. Now, where I do see a problem, and this is certainly worth studying further, and I know, for example, Barna Research Group has done further studies into this, but for the sake of our conversation today, we will not allude to that, is the gap as it pertains to the age. Because when we look at the silent generation, anyone born between 1928 and 45, those that consider themselves evangelical are 30%. Baby boomers, 46 to 64, 28%. Generation X, 65 to 80, 25%. The numbers continue to diminish. Older millennials, like myself, born between 81 and 89, I was born in 84, 22%. And millennials born between 90 and 96, 19%, which showcases to me, Daniel, that a lot of parents are not doing their jobs as it pertains to disciplining, educating, rearing their children in the discipline and admonition of the Lord.
Oh, Gio, absolutely. I mean, you see kind of the aftermath of this. You know, I'm actually part of the latter group that you mentioned. So, yes, I am a youngling. Yes, I am. I'm basically 23 years old. So,
thanks for making me feel like an old hag here, man.
But, I mean, I find myself, you know, the environment that I find myself, especially, you know, at the university that I go to, and some of the things that I see, Gio, and some of the things that I see, especially coming out of, you know, my generation, you know, our generation, Gio, it's astounding the kind of things that we see. I mean, look at that music festival that we have down here every year, Ultra, you know, it's on the news every year, and the kind of things that you see there are borderline pornographic. I mean, it's utterly disgusting, for lack of a better word. And to go more into your point about the parenting, I can't agree more, because Gio, the fact of the matter is that up to a certain extent, obviously, you know, I think the more we grow as, you know, as people, we finally make our own decisions. But I think a lot of that has to do with how you're raised. You know, you were raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a Christian home. And, you know, it's not to say that this is always the case. You know, I don't want to go that far. But a lot of it has to do with how you start rearing your kids, what you expose your kids to. Because, I mean, Gio, you know, I was sharing this in another episode that we were recording. And I was babysitting, you know, my cousin a couple days ago. And Some of the programming that we have out there for kids now, Gio, I have to tell you, I think, you know, it's kind of embarrassing, but, you know, I'll go ahead and share it with you. I think I lost a few IQ points and I can't seem to find them. I literally became dumber watching the kids programming that we have nowadays, you know, and it just goes back to your point, you know, parents, you know, it's time to, you know, disconnect TVs for a while and get your kids to start reading stuff that is going to educate them, that's going to edify them. No, and I think that's the greater point that we're trying to make.
Right. It says in Proverbs 22:6, and for good reason, that if we train up a child in the way that he or she should go when they are old, they will not depart from it. It's interesting, because people like Vladimir Lenin and other Marxists, what they did was they took this concept and they twisted it, and they used wickedness in order to advance evil ideology such as Marxism and virulent atheism. Marx said, "Give me 4 months with a child, and the seed that I plant in his heart, no one will be able to extirpate it." And the truth of the matter is, there is a reason why God commends each and every one of us the labor of parents, those of us who are parents, to he gives us a responsibility to discipline and educate our children. It is our responsibility to do so and to do a good job of it. Otherwise, these younglings will not have any direction in life. They'll be, as my father likes to use that phrase, as a boat without any sails. It's just floating in the middle of the ocean without any sort of direction, without being directed by the winds to its destination. So I think we have to notice in these statistics that, yes, there is a glimmer of hope for our nation. It's not as if Christianity is dying. But at the same time, I find that parents aren't doing a good job of rearing their children in the discipline and admonition of the Lord, because we live in such an entertainment-based society. I was sharing with you on another program that I find it highly ironic that we live in a day and age of mass information. The internet is at our fingertips, on our phones. We have access to information seemingly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But when I study history, I notice that people in the past were much more intelligent, much smarter, much more educated than the persons of the modern age, even though we have easier access to information and science has advanced. And books are much cheaper than they were in the past, and there's a plethora of literary works, and people were much smarter in the past, and they did not have the ease and the access to information that we have today. That's ironic, is it not? Isn't that contradictory? But that also goes to showcase that with the convenience generation that we're living in, more and more people say, there's no need to know that. There's no need to know that, because as long as I have my things, as long as I have my material things, I'll be fine. And this is a problem that we have to fight against. And again, I affirm my earlier statement and reaffirm it, in that even though there are a certain number of persons that state that they are Christians, in truth, I think the number is much smaller. What is it that the statistic, I have it here in front of me, it says that those that consider themselves evangelical Christians, in other words, evangelical Protestants, in 2007, there were 26% of the population. Now it's diminished to 25.4% of the population. And I truly believe that within that group, there's a subgroup of true Christians. There might be persons like you were saying earlier, they might go to church, what is it, maybe once or twice a year, and they'll say, yeah, I'm an evangelical Christian, but their Christian service is not present, and they might not even espouse the true tenets of the gospel. I think in truth we are a little flock, having spoken to many Christians throughout the years, being in ministry for many years now, and having operated under the banner of my father, who is a pastor, and seeing people come and go from church and others stay for the long run like yourself, I think we can affirm that truly those that are true biblical Christians are actually a much smaller number than even what the statistics have to showcase.
Absolutely. And I'd bring up a point as well. You know, it's something that we were talking about, you know, before we started. Was the point where what you just made, you know, the technology nowadays, I mean, there's no excuse for ignorance up to a certain, there's no excuse. I mean, nowadays, oh no, but I don't have a Bible. You can download the Bible app on your smartphone, which almost everyone has one for free, basically. It includes a bunch of different versions, languages. There's no excuse. And to go to your point about how ironic it is, I think I'm not saying anything outlandish by saying that I think what this new age of technology has developed in a lot of us is that sense of complacency where, you know, just like what you said, I have everything I need. You know, I got the latest iPod, the latest iPhone, I'm good. You know, I can care less about the rest. You know, as long as I fit in with the crowd, you know, as long as I fit in with what's trending, with what's going on, yeah, I'm good. You know, and the truth of the matter is, Gio, that that's such a cheap excuse for ignorance. Because the truth is, like you said, we had so many tools in front of us. And we've had so many people who have stood there, you know, such as, you know, your dad, who also happens to be my pastor, you know, that have stood up there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday preaching the truth. There are people out there, you know, speaking truth, you know, kind of what we're doing right now by bringing this new episode out to the people. I just think, Gio, when it comes to that small little group now, you know, kind of moving on a little bit, it's sad to see that you know, within this supposable group of evangelicals, that, you know, the actual number is even smaller. Honestly, I think it's a very sad notion. You know, and it's kind of an upsetting trend to an extent, you know, kind of like what we were going over with, you know, the millennials and this and that. But I think it's all a culmination of, you know, what we've brought, which is that we kind of have to start doing more. You know, it's not just a matter of saying, yeah, you know, we're going to do more. We're going to stand up and do this and that. I think it's time that we just actually did it. You know, it's about time that we stopped calling ourselves Christians and start acting like Christians. I think you would agree with that.
Great point. To finish, I want to also note that there are the detractors who would state, Danny, Gio, you're both wrong, because look at the group of the unaffiliateds, and that means agnostics and atheists, and that group is growing exponentially. Well, again, let's dig deeper into the statistics to see what it actually has to show us. In 2007, those that considered themselves unaffiliated were 16.1% of the population, and that has grown to 22.8%. Now, at a cursory glance, that might seem as an exponential growth of about approximately 6.7 to 7 percentage points. But here's a little truth that is buried in the report. And it's under a heading said, a note on defining religious affiliation and the study's terminology. In the third paragraph, it says, quote, the unaffiliated are generally less religiously observant than people who identify with a religion, but not all religious nuns are non-believers. In fact, many people who are unaffiliated with a religion believe in God, pray at least occasionally, and think of themselves as spiritual people. Forthcoming reports will describe the religious landscape study's findings about the religious beliefs and practices of nuns and other groups, end quote. Besides, when we take a closer look of the groups that have supposedly grown exponentially, that is, those that say atheist and agnostic groups, in 2007, we'll find that atheists made up 1.6% of the population. Now they are 3.1% of the population. That's only a 1.5% growth. And then the agnostics made up 2.4% of the population. And now that is up to 4.0% of the population, which is a growth of 1.6%. And there's another subcategory there, and you'll see it. I'm pretty sure you're seeing it, Danny, with me. Nothing in particular. I don't know what people were affirming when they said that, but that group was 12.1% in 2007, and now they are 15.8% of the population. So it's not as if the atheist and agnostic groups are growing by leaps and bounds. They are growing, but it's not anything that is extravagant by any stretch of the imagination.
Exactly. You know, just going back to a point I had made earlier, you know, this nothing in particular group just happens to be that group of people who say, yeah, I believe in something. You know, I just, you know, yeah, you know, I pray, you know, I believe in God.
Right.
You
it's
know,
very vague, very vague.
Exactly. And, you know, you know, you bring up the perfect point where it's funny how the atheist and the agnostic camp, they make up what, less than 4% of the unaffiliated population. That nothing in particular, that vague group, I guess we can call them, they make up a little more than 12% out of that group. That's a huge chunk, which, again, it's not more of this group where we're just, you know, no, we don't want nothing with God. We don't believe in anything. We just have this group. They're kind of like the dust that just floats in the air. They're going somewhere. They just don't know where they want to go. You know, they happen to land on something. Yeah, we'll just go with that, you know, and that's why, you know, like, kind of the trend that we've been setting here is, you know, you got to be careful with the numbers, with the polls that you read. Got to read it a little more into it, because sometimes the numbers are just inflated, like we've seen.
Exactly. Well, folks, you've been listening to the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast. We're so glad that you download this and listen to it. We only ask that you were to share this with your friends and with your family members and others that need to know the truth of the gospel. It makes an excellent tool for evangelism. You can download this podcast by visiting our website, lwym.org, and if you are in the vicinity, please visit us during our Wednesday night youth meetings. We are located at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. For more information, give us a call, 305-461-9929. And last but not least, if you have any questions or comments, please direct those by writing us an email at info@lwym.org. I want to thank Mr. Orihuela for joining us once again on the podcast. For Danny, this has been Gio. We wish you adieu and Godspeed until the next occasion.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWYM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwym.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.